Thank you, Dwight, for leading us in those songs of love. And I hope that as y'all were singing these songs, y'all were thinking about the love of God. And I don't know if y'all thought much about how much God loves us, but I hope to direct your mind and heart to that this morning. We're going to look at God in 4D this morning. That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? I remember as a kid growing up in the 80s and early 90s, the very first time that I went to IMAX theater to see something in 3D. And I was used to watching TV on a console TV. It wasn't very big, but the first time that I actually got to see something in a different dimension, it was so amazing, and it still is pretty cool today to see things in a different angle. There's lots of video games out that's come a long ways, makes it more realistic. It helps us to see things better. And I hope today that we can point out God's love in different dimensions as well. We're going to be talking about the four dimensions of the love of God. We're going to try to measure that and to see just how much God loves us. Explaining how to love somebody is sometimes difficult for us to do, especially when it comes to our spouse or our family, brothers, sisters, parents, or whatever. It's hard to do. And I know I try to explain it sometimes to my wife. I ask her, do you know how much I love you? And she said, no. And I'll say, to the moon and back. She just rolls her eyes at me. I don't know why she doesn't like that. But to measure that, for me, is a lot of love. And I did look up how far the moon is from the earth. It's 238,900 miles, which to me is a long time, long ways off. But God's love is deeper than that, and we want to go over that. A common verse that is often that we all know, John 3:16, kind of gives us the depth of God's love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if we look at that to some depth, we can see God's love for us. When we're explaining the love of God to someone, this verse is always one to go to. I mean, God gave his only Son up so that we may live. And I think Dwight mentioned Wednesday in the Bible class that it, as a parent, that's hard for a father to even fathom to do, to give that up. But God's love is a lot more deeper than that. This morning our lesson is coming from Ephesians chapter 3. Paul is writing to the Ephesians. It's actually a prayer. He's praying and talking to people just like you and I today. These Ephesians, they were believers in Christ. They knew God loved them. But Paul wanted them to see it in a different way. He wanted them not only just to hear it by words, but to experience and to have compassion about it. And so he was praying to them that they would see a better understanding and get a measurement of God's love. Let's read this together. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that ye may be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inward man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith to the end, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled unto the fullness of God. Almost everywhere we hear people talking or preaching about the love of Jesus. There are mass media preachers, door-to-door evangelists, even us as Christians talk about the love of Jesus. We want to assure whoever we're talking to, prospects of those we're wanting to come to Christ, that Jesus loves them. We all have, or they have, special spiels that we tell people about the love of God, the gospel of Jesus, that God sent his Son to earth to be a living sacrifice for our sins, that his blood shed was to cover all of our sins and past guiltiness that we may have. And that results of love and eternity with God. And of course, all of that is true. It is true, but if we, to be honest, it's only a two-dimensional part of God's love for us. Paul is writing here in Ephesians that there are four dimensions of God's love. And we are grounded in love, and we have to be in contact with the Holy Spirit to really be able to comprehend what those dimensions are and how much it is. Paul even says that this understanding surpasses, it goes beyond our human mind and knowledge. It takes the gift of the Spirit of God in our inner man, our inner selves, for us to be able to understand that. Now, we do have an inner being just as well. We have a physical body, and we strengthen our physical body on a daily basis to be able just to do the normal things that we do in life. But our inner man sometimes gets weak. And Paul's prayer is that we not only understand God's love in two dimensions, but to understand it in four dimensions, to get the great measurement of it. God's love is unconditional. He loves us no matter what. No matter what the conditions are, it's unchanging. He loved us first a long time ago, and he'll always love us the same forever and ever. But what are the dimensions of God's love? What is its width, length, depth, and height? We're going to look at those individually this morning and try to get a better understanding of what the measurement, what the dimensions of God's love is for us. The love of God has breadth or width. Have you ever thought about how wide God's love is? Well, I believe that it is as wide as God's grace is. Grace is a gift, and a gift is always free. One doesn't deserve it or even earn it to receive it. That's love. By this, we know that the grace of God is wide because God loves everyone, even the wicked. Not just the good, but also the bad. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 43 through 45, he says, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust." Now, if we look at that scripture there, we look at what Jesus is saying, it's easy to say that we could call this a common grace. It's for all people, not just some people. Now, God does have special grace on some people, gives them more talents, especially those who are his children. But this is a common grace. It doesn't matter if you're good, you're bad, what color your skin is, what your gender is, or your conduct. It's for all people. Think about this. What would God or other people think as to a father? If a father gave his good children water and food, but denied that to his wayward children. You know, God doesn't just pick and choose who he loves. Neither does a father pick and choose what children they're going to feed. Jesus said in Matthew 28, says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey whatsoever I have commanded you." The gospel, the love of God, is for all people. That's the width of God's love. Secondly, we'll look at the depth. The love of God has depth. How deep is Christ's love? This was something that a lot of us don't really think about. It's overlooked a lot. But God's love goes as deep as the sin goes. I was thinking of this last night. I don't know if y'all have ever heard the song by Randy Travis, "Deeper Than the Holler." "I love you deeper than the holler, higher than the pine tree swaying." God's love goes deeper than that. And I believe that the love of Christ is just as deep as his justice or judgment is. In Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8, it tells us just how deep the love of God goes. but made himself, talking about Jesus, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You can't go any lower than the cross, folks. That's deep right there. If you think about Jesus' life and the love that God has for him, and we doubt the love that God has for us sometimes. There are many people who think their past, their sins, go so deep that God cannot love them for what they've done. But listen to this for a moment. God's son was born in a manger with animals, a lowly birth he come into this world, and died at the hands of people who crucified him of a lowly death. Even the cruelest, most vile people died at the cross, and yet the Son of God died the same way. But then you look at his life. His life wasn't with lots of things, houses. His life wasn't all as great as it could have been, being the Son of God. He even mentioned that the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Think about that for a moment. God loved Jesus, but he didn't give him a lavish life. Why do you think that was? That shows us that God put his son at the lowest place on earth and still loved him. None of us could go that low. None of us have to die at the cross. He loves us so much that he was willing to allow his son to pay that price and die at the cross. That's deep there. And thirdly, God's love has height. Just how high does God love you? I believe that God's love is as high as knowledge and truth. We know that God's knowledge is more than we can fathom. The truth is still the same. God never lies. How high can you measure that? What is true knowledge and truth? It's mainly God's concepts put into words. Isaiah 55 verse 9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." To see God's love, ask yourself, how high does he lift you? Each one of us have different levels each day. Some days we feel that we're way up here. Sometimes we feel we're down here. But God's love lifts us as high as we will allow it to be. It lifts me to heavenly places where I'm seated with Christ. Ephesians 2 and 6 says that he has raised us up together and makes us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know if you've ever at night gazed up at the stars on a clear night and just see how high the stars are. God's love reaches beyond that. To be seated with Christ. Paul gives a good analogy here in Romans 8. Says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love. Not our sins. Not anything can separate us from the love of God. And lastly this morning, the love of God has length. When you think about the length here, we usually think about miles, how far away something is, but it's talking about time. God has said that he loved us when we were created, before we were even in our mother's womb, and loves us everlasting. I believe God's love is as long as his mercy is. Mercy is like the reverse side of a coin of grace, as defined by some, whereas grace is receiving what we don't deserve, mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Because all of us are humans, we've all sinned, and the wages of sin is death. we all deserve to die. But in his love, and as is famously quoted in John 3:16, God says he has given us his only begotten Son so that if we believe, we will not perish. That means we will not get what we deserve, which is death. That's mercy. That's love. Instead, all who believe in the Son of God, who will receive the Spirit of grace, will receive the gift of everlasting life. Everlasting for eternity. That's everlasting love. Paul says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God loves us so much that his mercy never stops and promises everlasting life. David said in Psalms 103, says, but the mercy of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting for eternity. We can't fathom how long that is. I know I've met and talked with people who have been married with their spouse 50, 60, 65, or even 75 years. And to a couple, that's a long time. But God's love is longer, much, much longer than that. It's everlasting. Jeremiah 31 says, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn with you loving and kindness. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God, not friends of God, not acquaintance with God, but sons of God. He loves us so much that he will allow us to become sons of God. Can we really comprehend the width, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love? We can. We can do that. To come to any understanding of the dimensions we're talking about of God's love, we must first come to the cross. And the cross is pointed in four different directions. Essentially, because God's love is wide enough to include every person. God's love is long enough to last through eternity. And God's love is deep enough to even reach the worst sinner in the world. And God's love is high enough to take us into heaven. We become God's children by obeying the gospel of Christ. When we obey it and we come in contact with God's blood, we get that inner feeling, that inner understanding of what God's love is. God's love isn't just something we read about or someone tells us about, but it's something we fully understand and want to share with other people. That love is what directs us and guides us each day. But how do we obey the gospel? What shall we do? We know that in Acts 2:38 says, repent, be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the Holy Ghost. You fully understand that love by obeying the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If there's anyone here this morning who has not obeyed the gospel, who may not understand the amount of love that God has for you, he's here for you today. He's calling you to receive that love and for you to love him back by being obedient to his word. Or if there's anyone here this morning who is maybe not really focused on God's love much and is struggling with something in their life, maybe they have obeyed the gospel. God still loves you. He's always there for you. It's everlasting. He goes that deep. We invite you to come forward this morning while we stand and while we sing.